to the Lord in prayer. Pray for the choir as we do Miracle in Me. Be there when the Savior spoke a great command, when to witness in the wonder from His wonder-making hand.
No miracle has caught my eyes to cause my heart to see, but by faith I now can realize there's a miracle in me.
If we have the faith that's measured by the smallest mustard seed, all our mountains they'd be mastered by the master of all our needs.
When we have a childlike trust, He said He'll do the greatest thing, as to heal the sick, and He'll raise the dead, and be a miracle in me. Choir. Fellowship time.
We'll let you get back to your seats. We've got several important announcements, so be sure and listen up very carefully. First of all, I want to thank everyone that took part in the Easter walk yesterday. Had a great event. We had several people come through. Didn't have as many as we've had in previous years, but we still were able to minister to several people yesterday, and I appreciate everybody that took part. We still got some cleanup to do, but a lot of the guys and girls stayed over last night. We appreciate everybody that come early, that stayed late, and helped to clean up. But if you took part in Easter walk in any level, it doesn't matter how minor your part, if you took part, if you'd please stand, we just want to recognize you. If you took part in the Easter walk this year, all right, let's give them a hand. Appreciate y'all. Oh, man. Yes, and Sister Haley's got something she wants to say. Amen. We love you guys and appreciate y'all. And Haley and Becky came to me, about 3 or 4 years ago and had the idea and said they wanted to do it. I said, hey, it sounds great. Let's try it. And it's been a success every year. We appreciate everybody that's giving in that. Now, this is very important here. We have got the deacons and trustees have discussed this before, but we need somebody to take care of this for us. The ceilings in the missions room and in Sister Pat and Sister Sheila's special blessings class from when the roof was leaking, they've got some mold and stuff on them, okay? And we need to have those cut down. Now, we don't have to have it completely replaced this week. We can do that later on, but we definitely need the bad part cut out and thrown away because we've got some ladies, especially in Sister Belinda's class, that are having trouble with the mold and breathing that in and allergy issues, things like that. So if somebody could see me after the service and say, hey, I've got time to cut those down this week, preacher, and throw them away for you, I'd appreciate it. And that way at least we'll get rid of the mold and then we can make it look aesthetic and make it look better in the coming weeks, okay? But if we can get rid of that this week so the ladies won't have a breathing problem, I would appreciate that. Just see me after the service. If nobody sees me after the service, we'll hire it out this week, amen? Amen. All right. So, well, we're going to get that taken care of this week, all right? If the parents could help me, I don't know if it's an adult or if it's a child, but if you guys could maybe talk to your kids about it, but we have already called out the septic tank company about our paper towels. And somebody has been flushing paper towels down again. We found some yesterday that had clogged, and it's backed up back here again. They told us if we kept flushing them, they'd have to come back out. So every time we bring them out, it's about $300. So if you could talk to your children or talk to, you know, if you're doing it yourself, if you could stop, we'd appreciate it. So, don't flush those down. Anything you use with a paper towel, just throw it away in the wastebasket because that will clog up our lines, okay? And I'll jump on that tomorrow and get somebody out here to get us unclogged again, okay? Choir practice today at 5 p.m. with Brother Brewer, so please be here for that. Don't forget about Brother Dontrell sending him boxes each month. Bring him some items in, and also Brother Martin to give him some cards. Friday night singing, Brother Brewer's already announced that, but that'll be Friday, April the 26th at 6:30, okay? So please be here for that. We're going to have an ice cream dinner that night. Widow's Trip will be Saturday, April the 27th. We were going to the Southern Star, but that is closed on Saturday, so we're going to go somewhere else to eat. But we'll meet here at the church at 12:30 and go out to eat with the widows. Lenny's Store will be at the end of the month. That'll be April the 28th after the AM service. Next week's Easter, okay? I'm starting an Easter series this morning and going to conclude that next Sunday morning. Next Sunday night, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, okay? I thought that'd be a great time for us to do that. So next Sunday night, we'll observe the Lord's Supper. Those that want to come and participate in that, we'd love to have you. We're meeting with Linwood Baptist with Brother John Alverson. That'll be on the 27th at 9 a.m. We'll provide breakfast for them, but they're going to tell all our leaders about how we're going to handle the Arise Conference. They've been several times, and so we're going to follow their rules and their regulations since they know what to do, and he's going to give us all the rules and regulations, and that'll be Saturday the 27th at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall. Women's Conference will be Saturday, May the 4th. If you've not signed up for that, see Sister Becky or Sister Haley and let them know you're coming. They would appreciate that. Sister Sherry Larson will be our guest speaker, and they will provide lunch that day. Missions team meeting will be the last Sunday of the month at 4:30. So please be here for that important meeting. We're having a Mo's fundraiser for our Rise Conference. That'll be at Mo's in Fort Oglethorpe. That will be Thursday, April the 25th from 4 to 8 p.m. And we get 10% of everything up to 1500. Is that right, sis? And then 15% after $1,500. Okay, so just keep that in mind and come by and eat with us that night. Men's breakfast will be this coming Saturday, the 20th at 8 a.m. Everyone's invited. You do not have to be a member of the church to come. We got members from other churches that come, but that will be over in the fellowship hall at 8 a.m. And our senior trip will be Tuesday, April the 23rd at 10:30. We'll be going to Parkside, then we'll be going to Park Place after the service, okay? All right, we appreciate that. All right, and I wanted to also state that it's good to have Brother Pfeiffer, Mr. Pfeiffer, with us, and his wife, Miss Pfeiffer, and he is actually the VFW coordinator, the post commander, right? Yeah, post commander. So we appreciate him visiting with us with Brother Tom this morning. Amen. All right. Well, good. That's great, brother. Well, hope we'll get a bunch of your guys out here. We'll have a dinner for you guys, too. So. Well, I think we need to tell them because they might not show up. Yeah. You talking about the 21-gun salute? That's what I'm saying. I'm going to announce it. We're going to do the 21-gun salute this year in honor of those that have fallen. And in honor of Memorial Day, of those that have given their lives for our country. So at the end of our service this year, we're all going to go outside and they're going to do a 21-gun salute. So I think that'll be awesome. Amen. So we appreciate you doing that for us, brother. All right. Did I announce Austin yet? I haven't announced Austin yet, have I? Okay, great. Austin's graduating. It's taken him 14 years, but we're really glad about that. We love Brother Austin, and if somebody will let me know at the end of the service, I've asked several people, Brother David and some others, but I think Austin's our only graduate this year. If that is the case, if there's another graduate, please let me know, because we give out our Bibles, okay? So if we have anybody associated with our church that's graduating, let us know, and we'll be honoring Austin in May. We'll be honoring him with a Bible on a Sunday morning, okay? All right, if the ushers would, please come forward, and we'll take up the Sunday morning offering. All right. Brother Roy, would you bless the offering, please, sir? Thank you.
Appreciate Brother David, amen, filling in for Miss Sheila. This song here, you know, God has always been the same. He's never moved. We're the ones that move. And he was there all the time. Time after time, I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. All the while, someone was waiting to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. So never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life, which just starting to rhyme, sharing each new day with him is a breath of fresh air. And oh, what I missed, he was waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. My Jesus was there all the
in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Like I said, this is going to be a three-part Easter series. Those that just show up one time a year, they get the review next Sunday, amen. So you get the head start on them, and then next Sunday we'll do the review and then get into the last part of the message. But the Lord gave me this message a couple of weeks ago, and I started pondering on the thought and started running through some of the different characters in the Bible and came up with this message about our attitude towards the death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to visit several individuals in Scripture today, and we'll cover several as we go through this series, but each one of them had a different attitude towards the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the issue, is that there are some here today that you have that same attitude. You may have one, two, three or maybe even more of these attitudes. Amen. But if you would please stand in honor of God's word. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God. Thanks for everything you've given us, Lord. I thank you for the success of the Easter walk. I thank you that everyone there was kept in unity, Lord, and that we kept moving forward for you. I thank you, Lord, that the gospel was presented. And I pray if anyone was there that didn't know you, Father, that you may water that seed, Lord, and that they may accept you as their Savior. Help us to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on our service today. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, there's multiple examples in Scripture of attitudes toward the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'll find individuals, some of them had negative attitudes, some of them had positive attitudes, but every one of those attitudes are found in the church today. I want to start with Peter first, and everybody knows about Peter, that Peter denied him. We find over in Matthew 26:34, Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." But we've never really focused on what was Peter's real problem. I mean, why did he deny him? I want to tell you the root of his problem was, is that he didn't believe what the Lord said. He didn't believe the word of God. Because Jesus told him, he said, "You're going to deny me." And he said, "No, I'm not." But isn't that our attitude many times toward Jesus and toward his word? Jesus says, "Don't mess with this sin or this is going to happen." You go, "Oh, it won't happen to me," right? "Hey, don't go this direction." You go, "Oh, that won't happen to me, Lord, not me." And we deny him, don't we? Amen. Romans 3:4 says, "God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar." See, Peter thought he knew more than the Lord knew. He thought he knew more than God. God said, "If you do this, this will happen." Peter goes, "No, it won't happen. I know more than you do, Jesus." And that's the way we do sometimes, isn't it? That's our attitude toward the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We say, "God, I know more than you do. God, that won't happen to me. Hey, that won't ever happen to me." Amen. That's the way we react, and that's the way we treat the Lord. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? We're not to trust it. Listen, you cannot trust yourself. You cannot trust your flesh. You better be trusting in God. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26:73 says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee," or betrayeth thee is what that means. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Notice there, here's a follower of Jesus, but he wanted so bad to prove that he was not part of him that he started cursing his name. And listen, folks, when you ignore and rebel against the word of God, you will become a fake Christian. You'll start cursing. You'll start saying bad jokes. You'll start hanging out with a bad crowd, amen, when you start denying his word. You know, I had a man one time that was talking to me. It's been many years ago, over 20 years ago. And he said, "Brother Jeff," he said, "I went to a, I used to go to parties." And he said, "I would go to office parties at work." And he said, "I didn't drink." He said, I never have drank. But he said, "I would carry around the drink glass so they would think I'm drinking." Well, you might as well just be drinking, amen. Because if that's the perception you're putting on others, you're not standing for Jesus Christ. What is that? That's denying him, amen. That's denying him. But listen, Peter also made the mistake of not staying close to the Lord. It says in Mark 14:54, "And Peter followed him afar off." Listen, when you follow Jesus way off, you're going to wind up denying him. You're not going to stand firm for him in the job. You're not going to stand firm for him at the school. You're going to be following him afar off, and you're going to be just like the world, amen. Then I think about the second group, and it's the disciples. The disciples abandoned him. Matthew 26:31 says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." We find over in Matthew 26:56, it says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And then notice this in John 6:66. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." They walked no more with him. Notice the number there, John 6:66, rejected Jesus, number of the Antichrist, number of the beast, amen? Just a little nugget there. But there's scores of these found in Scripture where it says they followed him. They followed him. Everybody was following him. Get your concordance and look up, followed him, and look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at them following the Lord. Oh, multitudes of people following him. Why? Because he was doing something for them. When he wasn't doing something for them and he needed something from them, where were they? Nowhere to be found, right? Isn't that the way we are sometimes as Christians? I mean, we're like the disciples. We follow God as long as there's money in the bank, as long as our health's good, as long as everything's going great in our life, as long as we're on top of the mountain, we're following God. But you let us hit a little valley, and guess what? We drop out of church. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying, amen? That's what the disciples did, amen? Then I think about Pilate. Pilate scoffed at him. John 18:38. Pilate saith unto them, "What is truth?" He looked at Jesus. Jesus is talking to him, and he was sarcastic. He was mocking. He was scoffing. He goes, "What is truth?" You say, what is he saying right there? He says, "Well, I don't believe like you believe. Or I don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches." That's your interpretation, amen. What is truth? That's what he's saying. What he's saying to Jesus is there are no absolutes. There is no truth, Jesus. There is no final authority. And isn't that what we say today? Hey, as long as the truth fits in with what we believe truth is, we're fine with it. But boy, you take some truth out of the Word of God that chaps our hide or gets into what we want to do or gets into our little sins. Oh, no, that's not right. Right? The Bible says they wrest the Scriptures, they twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. Listen, you either take the Scriptures at face value or you're not going to be the Christian you need to be. He scoffed at him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." Listen, folks, if you take the Word of God and just nitpick what you want and say, "I want this, I don't want that, I want this, I don't want that," you're calling God a liar. You're looking right at God and saying, "God, I believe this part, but not this part. You're truthful here, but you're lying over here." That's what you're saying to him. You know, Psalm 12:6 says, "The words, plural, words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified several times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Notice it doesn't just say the stories. Oh, you'll preserve the stories. You'll preserve the word. It says you'll preserve the words. That means every jot, every tittle of the Bible is preserved somewhere. Or God's a liar, right? Those that look at you and say, "Oh, they're only preserved in the originals." Well, that's good to know because the originals aren't here anymore. There are no more originals. All we have are copies of copies of copies. So when somebody says it's in the original, they've already lied to you. There are no originals. So if you're saying the only true, perfect Word of God's in the originals, then you're calling God a liar. Because he said he would preserve. What does preserve mean? It means to keep it like it is without it going bad. And it says the words. Amen. St. Peter 3:3 says, "Knowing this, that there shall come the last day scoffers." What's their problem? "Walking after their own lust." See, the problem with scoffers is their lust. There's some kind of sin they want to hold on to, so they mock and scoff and try to discredit the Word of God. Why? Because if they can do that, it makes them feel better and say, "Well, I can sin, I'm good." Because the Word of God's not true. Well, the original says this, so I'm good. That's just an excuse to sin. That's all that is, amen. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Listen, if you scoff at the truth, it's because you don't want the truth and you can't handle the truth. Amen? That's why you scoff. 2 Peter 3:16 says, "As also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." As I mentioned earlier, it says they rest. They do also the Scriptures. They twist them unto their own destruction. Listen, someone who rejects the truth will always twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. Listen, you can ignore the scripture. You can ignore it. But that doesn't mean it's not true and that it's not going to hurt you in the end. You can say that's not what that means. When the Bible says don't look upon the wine when it's red, when it stirreth itself as it rises in the cup. Hey, it's okay for me to drink. God says don't look at it. God says don't touch it. Don't drink it. Well, I'm okay. I don't think that's what it means. It leads to destruction. I've lost 3 close friends or family members due to alcohol. And you know why? Because they scoffed at the Word of God and said, oh, it's okay for me to drink. And it hurt them. Amen. Killed their livers. Shut down their heart. Amen. Twist the scripture. Then fourthly, Herod. He wanted to be entertained. Herod wanted to be entertained. Look at Luke 23:8 here. And when Herod saw Jesus, Jesus is brought before Herod, he was exceeding glad. Well, why is he glad? Oh, I'm so glad. I want to hear about my sin and how I need to change and get right with God. Hey, I want to hear the truth about God. Give me the truth. It's not what it says. It says, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. Been looking for him a long time because he had heard many things of him and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He was like most religious Christians today. He wanted to see some kind of horse and pony show. He wanted to see some emotions. He wanted to see something that would gratify his flesh. He could care less about the truth. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Listen, most Christians attend churches of death. You say, what do you mean by that? They feed the flesh. They feed the flesh. Listen, as I've said, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. There's nothing wrong with shouting. There's nothing wrong with being happy in the Lord. Christians should be happy in the Lord. We should have joy, amen. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, when you're jumping around and you're doing all the things that these other places do, I had a man tell me one time, and I won't get too specific because about it, but I ministered to one of his family members, we'll put it that way, and he's never visited my church, ever. And his church doesn't minister. He actually approached me and said, would you go minister to my family member? Well, nobody in his church doing it. I said, yeah, and I fell in love with this person. This person I love and care about. Great, great person. I love being around him. It's about ministry, amen. But he told me not too long ago, he said, you know, I would visit your church, but, you know, my kids are re-involved over here, and they like it and everything. So I went online, looked at it, see what the kids were involved in. It was a big rock show, big rock concert. And by the way, when do our kids decide where we go to church? That's what's wrong today. You know, hey, listen, if I'd have been able to choose my path when I was a young kid, I wouldn't have went to the church I went to. Hey, I'd have went to one of these rock and roll churches. I would have, but my mom and dad didn't let me tell them, hey, we're going here to church, mom and dad. Now, they laughed at me if I told them where we was going to church. Amen? Parents have it backwards these days. Romans 8:4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I mean, listen, how can you be righteous? How can it be fulfilled in us if you're walking after the flesh? It can't be done. Romans 7:5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. There's the motion, going through the motions. We hear it lots of times, we're going through the motions. And that's what most Christians do. They're feeding the flesh and they're just going through the motions of church. Jeremiah 5:31 says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. They love it. That's why people gravitate toward these big, huge mega churches nowadays, because they get their ears tickled. The Bible says the end times they'll have itching ears. They don't care about the truth. All they want to hear is how good they are and how wonderful they are, how they do nothing wrong, how they can live any way they want to, and God's okay with it. It's not what the book teaches, amen? Not what the book teaches. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall have or heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, people gravitate towards emotionalism, not sound doctrine. Listen, you say, how you know that, Bro Jeff? Well, I'll tell you exactly how I know. You bring in Dr. Tab, who knows the Bible better than anybody I know, but because he stands right here and he doesn't run around the church and jump and huff and hack and all these other things, very few people want to hear it. Why? Because it's not emotional. Same thing with Brother Logan. You have to beg and pull to people to hear Brother Logan. Brother Bagwell, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday nights, we drop off significantly with Brother Bagwell. Listen, folks, those are great teachers of the Word of God. Just because somebody runs around and huffs and puffs and shouts and throws and hacks and and all that stuff, amen? You're not getting near the teaching you're getting from those other men. Listen, why are we coming to church? Are we coming for a show? Or are we coming to learn the Word of God, amen? Listen, I think about the religious leaders next. They envied him. They wanted his glory. They wanted his power. Matthew 27:17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Even Pilate, lost, did not know God, did not believe in God. Remember, he scoffed at the things of God. Even he said they delivered him for envy. Envy. In Mark 15:10, they say the same thing. They delivered him for envy. See, the scribes and chief priests would rather destroy the work of the Lord than to lose their power. Do you get that? They would rather destroy the work of the Lord than to lose their own power. And you see that in many churches today. A pastor comes in, the church starts growing, they start seeing people saved, they start growing, everything's going great, finances are coming in. Then all of a sudden, a couple people in the church say, well, I've kind of lost control. And then they look for a way to run the pastor out. And then next thing you know, they're back down to 20, 30 people, and they're happy. Y'all were running 130, 140, you're down to 20 or 30, and we're happy because we got our power back. You know, what's it about, folks? Is it about us, or is it about Jesus Christ, amen? Is it about him? Brother Brewer, you can get a song ready. Luke 19:47 says, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Y'all get what's going on there? He's teaching in the temple. He's sitting there in the temple. He's teaching. This is God in the flesh teaching them in the temple. And all that's going through their mind through the whole service is, how can we get rid of him? How can we get rid of him? He's giving the truth. How can we get rid of him? John 12:43 says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's where we're at today. People love the praise of men more than they want the praise of God. Amen. With every head bowed, everyone standing, all eyes closed, if you're able. Listen, you might be here this morning, you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. The Bible says you can know that you're going to heaven. Jesus says you can know. The whole book of 1 John tells you how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. See, Jesus is not willing. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The wages of sin is death, and that's described as hell and is defined as hell in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. A gift, they give it to you, and you have to reach out and take it. Jesus Christ is offering his free gift of salvation, but you have to reach out and say, Lord, no strings attached. I just want your free gift of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to heaven. It's not through Brother Jeff. It's not through religion. It's not through your church. It's not through good works. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness that you get to heaven. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in just Jesus and Jesus alone? Just his shed blood alone? If you haven't, I implore you today, we've got altar workers, and they'll show you how, from the Word of God, how you can know that you're born again. Christian, are you living for Jesus, or have you taken on some of those attitudes toward the death, burial, and resurrection? We don't need those attitudes in our lives. As they sing one verse, if nobody comes, we're done, but if the Lord's dealing with you, you come down and do business with the Lord.
Just as I am. Come to them.
we're going to end in an altar of prayer today. I believe Brother Michael asked that we pray for Carrie and the baby and the situation there. And then also, Miss Stevens, what was your niece's name again? Was it your niece? Megan? Greek. Okay, let's remember her and her prayer. So come on down if you'll represent her. And Brother Michael, if you'll come down here and we'll pray for you too. Does anybody else need an altar of prayer this morning? That maybe you talked to me or maybe you hadn't. Okay, nobody else. Let's all come down and let's pray for these at the altar.